Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ.
Amen.
Again, I want to thank John for putting us on the internet and under our webpage, and so you can hear the sermons if you want to at home. So thank you very much. Our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters are praying this prayer today. Saint Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protector against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him. We humbly pray. Do thou, O Prince of heavenly hosts, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all evil spirits who wander through this world for the ruin of souls. Amen. Pretty powerful, huh? Pretty powerful prayer. Angels, St. Michael, do you believe in angels? Huh? Have you seen angels? Do you believe that there are spiritual powers beyond us that are at work in the world today? You know, every Christmas Eve, we hear the angels go to the shepherds. Fear not, for behold, I have great news of good joy for all people, that unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And the shepherds saw the angels, they believed the angels, they went to Bethlehem and saw the baby. Do you believe in angels? Okay, angels. Dr. S.W. Mitchell was a famous Philadelphia doctor in the 1960s, and he had gone to bed after a bone-weary day at his office at the hospital. He was exhausted. And suddenly, somebody knocked at the door and awakened him. And he opened the door, and he found a little girl, poorly dressed. It was like a snowstorm out. It was freezing cold outside. A little girl was there, and she told him that her mother was very sick and asked if he would please come to her and try to help her. And it was terribly cold outside, and he was bone tired, but he felt as a doctor he had to do his work, to do his duty. So he followed the girl. And he found her mother was very sick with pneumonia. So he took care of her, he helped her. And the doctor complimented the woman on the intelligence and perseverance of her little girl. And the mother looked at him, a little bit shocked, and she said, my daughter died a month ago. Her clothes are still in the closet. So Dr. Mitchell was amazed at what the mother said, confused, and he went to the closet and he opened the door, and there hung the very coat that he saw the little girl wearing out in the cold with the snowstorm and the blowing wind. And the clothes were warm and dry. Did God come to that doctor as an angel that looked like the little girl that had passed away? Now, Dr. Mitchell was a renowned doctor. He wouldn't tell a lie, he was telling the truth. Do you believe in angels? Do you experience angels? Billy Graham wrote a wonderful book. It's called Angels, God's Secret Agents. And I recommend that book to you. Christians, Jews, Muslims, in the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Quran, all has speaking of angels, of God's messengers created by God to be his communicators with us, to let us know that we're not alone, like Grant and Christian told us. And they differ from us. They don't have a physical body, but they do have a spiritual body. Angels are mentioned by our Lord Jesus Christ as watching over children. Matthew 18:10, rejoicing over repentant sinners. Luke 15, verse 10. St. Michael and all angels are mentioned in our first reading today from that Dave read, from Daniel, and also from Revelation, our second reading, and in Jude chapter 9. And St. Michael is one of three archangels. Can you name the other two? One you can see if you go to see the Mormons. They're big. He's blowing a trumpet, yeah. Who spoke to Mary? Which angel? Gabriel. And the other one might be a little rougher, Raphael. Yeah, not one of the Ninja Turtles. This is a different one. Raphael, the archangel. Reports of Archangel Michael have appeared throughout history. In the 5th century, at Mount Garganus in Italy, St. Michael was supposed to have appeared to the Roman army, the Roman Christian army, because they had the cross on their shields, and they had victory over the Goths and the Huns. Have you ever seen an angel? Jared and I have a friend, Cindy, and she's a Pentecostal. She's seen angels. You know what she said they look like? They're as big as trees, and they're powerful with energy glowing from them of love and goodness and power and light. And you can't help noticing more and more people, you know, you see angel pins, you see people buying angels at stores, you go to Hallmark, there's a whole section of angels there, there's books on angels. Better angels than mine are kind of falling apart. I got to glue that sucker. You know, when I had cancer, I was recuperating at home, and my good friend Alan Russell brought me a beautiful little crystal angel. And just by looking at that little angel, I felt, you know, as I recuperated, I felt the strength of God. And I loved that angel until Snowy, our cat, batted it and fell down and broke. But I was cancer-free at the time, and I thank God. I don't think we can ignore angels. They're in the Bible. Angels are powerful spirits that God sends into the world for well-being, for protection, for victory over sin, death, and the devil, over evil. It gives us healing. Since we don't expect angels, sometimes we don't see them. Sometimes we think, oh, that's just mythology. It's not true. It's just ancient people's view of what happens. Well, a wonderful writer, Frederick Buechner, in his book, Wishful Thinking, talks about angels. He says, an angel spreads its glittering wings over us, and we say things like, it was one of those days that just felt like it was good to be alive. Or, I had a hunch everything was going to turn out all right. Or, I don't know where I ever found the courage. Or, boy, that was just a lucky break. Frederick Buechner said, as Christians, we should know better. There's no coincidences. There are only providences. God is involved. Angels are God's messengers to us, messengers of God's love and care and compassion and forgiveness and encouragement. Angels are God's way with his love to touch us, to form us and reform us and transform us more and more into the image of God in Jesus Christ, and open us to doing his work and doing his will, to give us the energy to do it, to give us the courage and faith to continue in the faith. In fact, the church father, Origen, St. Origen, once talked in terms of not only the visible part of the congregation, the saints, you're the saints. When the Bible talks about the saints, it's you guys, it's the Christians here. But he also talked about other things. He said, when the saints gather, there will be two churches, one of the people and one of angels. For they each have their own angel and camp beside them. Each angel will be with the person it has commissioned to guard and direct. So what's that movie around Christmas time we see with Jimmy Stewart? Wonderful. Might not be so far-fetched. Wonderful Life. Eileen, how many people came to church today? We don't know the number. Who counted? Somebody counted.
We counted communion.
Oh, we counted communion. You spoiled my sermon. Okay. All right. Let's guesstimate. Wait, how many things? 30 here? 40 here? Okay. Actually, maybe 41. Okay, now there are 82, because each of you carried us, brought in her guardian angel with her. We have our guardian angels, according to Origen. He also, when he preaches mindful that he preached, he was also speaking to people and angels at the same time. What a beautiful way of experiencing the people of God. President Abraham Lincoln, in his inaugural address to the nation just before the Civil War broke out, he said, "We are not enemies, we are friends. We must not be enemies. Though passion may have strained, it must not break our bonds of affection. The mystic chords of memory will swell when again touched, as they surely will be, by the better angels of our nature." By the better angels of our nature. President Lincoln believed that each of us has angels. There can be dark angels or light angels, and we need to follow the better angels, the moral, the decent, the truthful, the God-sent angels. We have our individual angels. And according to the book of Revelation, each church has its own angel. Each congregation, imagine that. You know, St. Paul's, Trinity, St. John's, we all have our own angels. We read, John of Patmos wrote in Revelation 2, John of Patmos has told, "And the angel to the church of Smyrna, write. To the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write. To the angel of the church of Laodicea, write." And so the Bible teaches that each congregation has its own angel. And so what does the angel of St. Paul's Evangelical Lutheran Church on Walters Road look like? What does our angel look like for our congregation? What do you think? Well, how do you go about discerning what the angel looks like? Well, okay. What's it like when you walk in here? How do you feel? The ambiance, the architecture, the people? Do you feel a sense of somebody who says hi to you, warm? Do you feel that Jesus Christ is here? Okay, what's one question? Talks about the angel. How do we show Jesus to the world? Do people see the power and love and goodness and salvation of Jesus Christ through us? What's our theology? We could read about it in the back there and take one of those pamphlets. How do we show our Lutheran teaching? How do we know the catechism? Do you know the Ten Commandments? Do you know the Apostles' Creed? Do you know the Lord's Prayer, what it means? What kind of angel? What sort of leadership do you have? I mean, what's our council look like? What does our pastor look like? Don't say it. How do we handle conflict in the congregation? Do we show respect even with people we disagree with? Or do we demonize them? How do we financially support our ministry? What do we do now we're 1,000 behind budget? Now, what do we do with that? How we financially, you know, how do we decide how much money we'll give to this and that and how much to the church? What's our worship look like? I mean, you know, do you feel like you're worshiping God, or you're just going through the moon, you're so bored, you go, I can't stand it, can't wait, it's over. How do you view yourselves? Do you view yourself as a child of God, made in the image and likeness of God? That you're a saint of God? That you have a mission in God? You have a purpose? You have a destiny in God? And reflecting on these questions gives us insight into the angel of St. Paul's. And I've been here a little over 3 years, and I'm doing some history here. You know, we're going to be a big celebration in a few weeks, 165 years, and I've been reading some of the documents, and I agree with this guy. Ever hear of Pastor Robert Whitler? Good, okay. Pastor Whitler said about St. Paul's, he said, and this is in your newsletter, so pick it up out back there. If it were possible to characterize the relationship we feel at St. Paul's, it might be the feeling of family. The warm affection between pastor and congregation is genuine, or we could not accomplish the work that we have so far. I think that, for me, summarizes it. That feeling of love and family, of goodness, of welcoming each other, welcoming new people, and trying to find ways to reach out with socks or water or spaghetti dinners or blessing animals, any way we can to show Christ to the world. So angels are used by God as messengers from God to us personally. We have our guardian angels. And also angels are used by God to describe the spirit of the congregation. And angels always, always, always point beyond themselves to their Maker, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He and He alone transforms our lives, our church, our world. He calls us, in turn, to be angels to others, messengers of God. That's our prime vocation. No matter what we do, it's important to know not what we do, it's how we do it. Do we do it as messengers of God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ? Do we do it with love and care for the other person? This is what an angel means. And he calls us in turn to be angels, rejoicing because, not because of what we do, but because of Jesus Christ. Our names are already written in heaven. We know our ultimate destiny. When we leave this world, we know where we're going. We have to fear death. Thank God for the ministry of the angels, the blessed angels. Thank God for Saint Michael and all angels. And thank God for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who through his death and resurrection has won salvation for all of us. He's given us the great good news. We just have to tell it. We have to angelically tell others that Jesus lives. And now the world is totally different. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And Mir's going to play our next hymn, which is about angels.